everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Everyone, welcome. Welcome. Today, it's all about good girls do flirt. And I have two wonderful guests who I'm very excited to talk to. Kelly Fisher and Tana Gilmore are called the Matching Duo, and they're both certified relationship life coaches, certified matchmakers, speakers, and authors of the book, Relationship Do-Overs. They've appeared on many television programs, including The Steve Harvey Show, and contribute a bi-weekly love and relationship column on Essence.com. Together, they own Fisher Gilmore Matching, an agency which specializes in helping women of power balance career, personal, and love. I met Kelly and Tana last month at a conference in New York City for matchmakers, dating relationship coaches, and relationship experts of all kinds. And it was such a wonderful conference. I told you, listeners, all about the conference and that I met a lot of great people who are doing really good work. And Kelly and Tana are two of those special people. I've also had the opportunity to appear as a guest on their podcast show called Love Her Podcast. And I also know that for more than a decade, the matchmaking duo have been great friends, but they both worked in corporate America before they started their matchmaking agency. So they were powerful, very successful businesswomen first. So welcome to the program, Kelly and Tana. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Terry. We're so glad to be here.
Oh, thank you. And I loved meeting you in person. And I know that you both worked so well together. Now, you just got back from a tour in New York City. How did that go?
Yeah, it went really well. We launched our Love Her tour, and we are embarking on four cities across the country. And it went really well. We launched in New York, and it was phenomenal. It was sold out. It was just women everywhere. It was a beautiful experience.
Yes. I love that. Now, before we get more to your work, how did the two of you meet?
Well, Tana and I have been friends for probably over 16 years.
So wow, long time, right?
As we say, we started when we were 10. But
I like that. I use that line often, too, by the way.
Yes, but we were very active in corporate America. We were in a very specialized field of corporate relocation. And our two companies put us together to travel the country. We were in marketing and advertising to kind of travel and do presentations for C-level executives. And we would be gone from Monday to Thursday every week, just traveling away from our families, away from our husbands. And as women, a lot of times we don't share. So we would go to our, you know, we'd close the deal, go to our hotel room and just, you know, not share. But one day we went out to dinner, as girlfriends sometimes do. And we just started to share. And we realized that both of our marriages were in shambles. And I think that's really where the relationship began, where we started coaching each other. You know, we would be, you know, crying outside the boardroom, go in and close the deal, go out for a great dinner, and just keep on moving one step at a time. And I think people watched our journey of how Tana's relationship, and she'll share that with you. They separated for 2 years. And then mine, I realized that it just wasn't working anymore. And I became divorced. And a lot of people watched that journey and wanted to know more. And that's really how we started the coaching aspect.
So do you share your relationship challenges and your divorce with your clients as well?
Yes, we do. We actually do. I mean, on this tour that we launched here over the weekend, last weekend, we were very transparent with our audience. I mean, they asked specific questions and we were able to share with them, because I think that we have, what makes us different is that we have real life experience. So there's nothing that our clients can't walk through our office doors with us, any type of challenge that we have overcome or we've helped somebody overcome that. So I think that that's where we may be a little different from some of our colleagues.
Right. So that they can come to you with any kind of challenge.
Anything.
So how did you adjust and cope to divorce or your relationship challenges?
Sure. Well, for my divorce, I think it was really just finding out, and I wrote this in my in our book, Relationship Do-Overs. It was really rediscovering who I was because I had lost myself in the marriage. I had lost myself in my children and just throwing myself. And, you know,
which women often do, right?
Which we often do. That's yeah. And I think, you know, there was one day when we went out to eat, I think some a group of adults and someone asked, you know, Kelly, you know, what do you like to do? And I was almost in tears. I almost had to excuse myself because I had no idea. So my journey was really rebuilding myself to find out, you know, just my first name, Kelly, what do I like to do? What are some of the hobbies and things that I can even bring to another relationship? So I think without making yourself whole and as happy as you can possibly be, you're really no good to someone else. And that's really what I discovered in my journey.
And I think for me, we separated for 2 years. We've been married for 16 years. And during that 2 year separation, I really had to take accountability for my portion in the failed marriage at that point. I mean, until I had taken ownership on my responsibility and how I contributed to it, I really couldn't move forward. So I had to do some meditation, some praying, some self awareness of who I really was and what I needed out of the marriage. And again, take responsibility for my contribution and then go back and apologize. And you know what, let's talk through this. Let's see if we can try this again with this newfound experience that I have had during my soul searching during the 2 year relationship.
That's
to your separation.
Great. And you know, Tana, I think that most of us don't realize that, you know, relationships take two people, and that if we blame other and don't see our responsibility in all that goes on, we sure. have the ability to control the relationships or create the relationships that we want. And it sounds like that's what you did. You said, how am I responsible? What do I want to be? And how do I contribute to this marriage?
Absolutely.
And I will tell you, though, the research shows that not many couples are able to separate and then reestablish or recreate. So how did you do that?
Yes, we did. Yeah, we were able to do that. We found that same research. And so even as we're coaching clients, we always tell them when they're considering a separation, be prepared for a divorce because most couples do not, you know, resume. They don't get back together. But for us, again, I had to take responsibility and really take ownership of my contribution. And I had to go back and apologize just for my part and realize that I can't change him, but I can only change me. And if I can accept him the way he was standing in front of me, then I was okay with that.
And Dr. Terry, I think one of the things too, you know, for relationships that don't make it, a lot of times we have, like you said, we have to realize that it has to be two people that are wholeheartedly looking to reestablish that connection. And I think that's one of the things that comes to us often too. You know, one person is really into making the relationship work and they're so frustrated that the other person isn't. And sometimes it is that you just have to, you know, find out when the right time is to walk away. And it's not something we advocate, but it's something that we discuss all the time in our office.
And we do always have choices. We have choices to be there fully present, and we have choices to not be fully present or to leave. And one of the things I love about what you're saying, too, that it resonates with me as well, is that we don't want to lose ourselves. And, you know, I've been married, I've told you both, for about 24 and a half years, 25 years in November. And, you know, I had two children. I have a career. You both have careers. But you don't want to lose yourself. And I do remember waking up and saying, you know, like you said, Kelly, like, what are my interests? Who am I in this relationship? Right. And so I always tell clients as well, don't lose yourself. Make sure that you know who you are and that you don't lose. I mean, we can compromise. We can do things together. We can have similar friends. But don't lose that self, that who you are, that I am Terry and my interests and my friends and what's important to me. But it's easily done. So what inspired you then specifically to be a matchmaker and a relationship dating coach?
Wow. We think that it was a natural progression. I mean, as two women who have coached each other and then others saw our journey and we were able to coach others unofficially before we had become credentialed, it was just a natural progression. I mean, it was so obvious that even in our corporate careers, there was an empty chair beside our office, mine and Kelly's office. And it seems like the people would just come over before they got started with their day and just sit there for a motivational speech or to have a conversation with us about what was going on in their day. And the other executives and managers would say, you know what, just give them about 10 minutes with Tana and Kelly before they get started. And then, and they'll be all good. And that was,
it was called the coaching.
I like that.
And we weren't even credentialed. So we decided, you know, we're pretty good at this. Let's become credentialed and let's become, you know, certified life and relationship coaches. And here we are.
And I think funny because we hadn't planned on being matchmakers in the beginning. So then that's when we kind of researched and people said, oh, I'm feeling better. Well, do you know anyone that you can introduce us to? And we researched and found the Matchmaking Institute and flew up to New York and became kind of spent a day in the life of a matchmaker and learned that business. And that's how we added on and we became the matchmaking duo.
Excellent. Now, before we get to why matchmaking, because now you are dating relationship coaches and matchmakers, how does it affect your current relationships? Do you bring it home? Are you better at relationships, so to speak?
You know, it's interesting. I think for me, it's difficult for me to turn it on and turn it off. I know that my friends, prior to me being a coach, they would call and we would just get girlfriend advice. They would tell me about their relationships. But now I'm armed with more knowledge and insight. So I'm asking probing questions. And they're like, wait a minute, Tana, I didn't call you for that. I called you to have a conversation about what's going on. So I really don't want you to coach me now. But it's very difficult.
It's so hard, isn't it, to turn that off? With my daughter this weekend. I gave a presentation in California and I decided to bring her with me this time. And we were talking about how, you know, she's 22 now, so she's older. But when she was younger, she felt like I was doing my therapy and my relationship coaching with her. And now she can say, Mom, turn it off.
Yes.
But it's hard to turn it off. And even my voice is different when I'm in that roller mode. So, you said it's hard to turn it off, but you have to, right?
You have to. And you know what I do is I ask them initially, I said, you know, do you want me to be your friend today or do you want me to be your coach? Do you want my opinion? Do you want these questions? And so I ask prior to the conversation, just so I'll know what chat to put on that at that
and
moment.
What do they usually say? Do they say friend?
My friend. I don't want you to coach me.
Right. So they usually say friend. I like it. So why is matchmaking or going to a professional matchmaker a good way to find love?
Well, we found that matchmaking is so wonderful because a lot of times when we're left to our own devices, you know, we might, even if you're online dating, you're scrolling through pictures, you're just thinking, okay, this is my type just based on, you know, a couple words or a picture. But we really get to delve into the type of person that you need versus the type of person that you might want. And through coaching, I think the process is probably reversed because we're matching, you know, morals and integrity and credentials and hobbies and things that are really important, faith, you know, things that are important that will last long term, and then adding, you know, appearance and things like that at the end. So it's kind of flipped, but I think, you know, it really works out well as far as, you know, helping people to build a long term relationship because you're really sitting down with someone probably 3 or 4 dates in because we've already asked those questions and found out, you know, that you are compatible. But at this point, you know, it's up to you to create chemistry.
So, you know, listeners out there are probably thinking, though, Kelly Tana, why? I mean, matchmakers are in the old days, you know, and it sounds so traditional. Somebody else deciding for me. I can just hear them. Right. So what do you say to that person who is skeptical or saying, you know, I don't want my quote mom or aunt or grandmother to match me with someone? What do you tell that person?
Well, we usually would say whatever they're doing probably isn't working anyway. So, you know, put their hands, you know, put yourself in the hands of a professional. If you were looking for a specific job, you would hire a headhunter. So why not hire a heart hunter? This is what we do every day. We come across, you know, many people every day. And so allow the professionals to take control over that situation.
Yeah, you know what? It gives you your time back too. I think, you know, most of our clients are extremely busy. They're traveling all over the place and they don't have time to sit at a bar and look, you know,
busy
or, you know, go someplace to try to meet someone. So really we're working at the same time, you know, simultaneously as they're doing their job and their professional career. So we're setting up dates and you know, I think a lot of them appreciate us working on their behalf as they're, you know, continuing to build their career.
I like that. And like you said, you would go to a professional with, for other parts of your life, whether it was job, right? Or whether it was, you know, to fix my teeth or whatever it may be.
Exactly.
So why not in the area of my love life, which is so important to my health and well-being? So now I know that you specialize in finding love and helping powerful women balance their career, personal, and love lives. Why women and why powerful women?
Well, I think why women is because when we are women and we can absolutely relate to where they're coming from. I mean, we wore the tailored suits, the show-stopping heels and the power suits. We wore those things. So we know what it's like to be in those shoes. We know what it's like to have an enormous responsibility at the office and then have to come home and have an enormous responsibility at home as well. So we know exactly what they're feeling. So when they come to us and they tell us those detailed feelings that they're having, we can relate. So we have a soft spot in our hearts for women.
And we've determined so many things that that happen with powerful women. So, for instance, yeah, we would go into the boardroom, and of course, you're commanding the room. You have to go in strong, and you know, really, you know, show your expertise. And I think that strong side sometimes translates at home. I know for us, it did, and that was one thing that we had to even, you know, tweak. You know, at 5 o'clock, you flip the switch. You're no longer this powerful woman, and it's not that you can't be powerful, but it's just that you want to flip the switch and be, you know, more nurturing and just be the girlfriend, be the wife, just have fun. And so I think a lot of the times we'll hear from men that, you know, powerful women at work don't know how to turn it off at 5 p.m.
So what do you tell women then at 5 p.m.? How does one turn it off? Tell me.
Yes. So we actually, with our clients, we create an alter ego for them after 5 o'clock.
Nice. I like that.
So you're Terry by the day, but you might be Teresa after 5. You might be Tracy after 5. And so you transition into that fun, flirty girlfriend or wife that you are. And we start that transition about 4:30, for about 30 minutes before they leave the office, and just start to focus and get their mind, you know, in a situation where they're ready to, you know, before they put that key in that door, they're transitioning into their alter ego.
Yeah, and it might be that you wear
something. How that would happen? Like, how would you tell a client at 4:30 to change to that alter ego? Take me through a little bit of that process.
Yeah, that's sure. Interesting, because we would tell them to whatever music gets you pumped, whatever music makes you feel sexy, whatever, you know, it could be music, it could be a meditation for 10 minutes, it could be a silent ride on the way home just for you to decompress. It could be a series of those things. But for our clients, usually they'll pick their favorite song that gets them pumped up, and then they'll tune it down a little bit on the way home. So by the time they walk through the door, they're refreshed, they're relieved, and they're ready to transition into that role of fun, flirty wife.
I like that. And I can be Teresa or whomever when I get home. I like the listeners. I love it. Now, do you think the rules of dating have changed for women? I know that when I was talking to my daughter this weekend, who's again 22, she said, "Mom, some of the rules have changed." And so I said, I'm going to ask, you know, Kelly and Tana, what they think. Have the rules changed?
Yeah, I would say that rules have definitely changed in so many ways. I mean, for instance, I think growing up, a lot of our parents would say, you know, don't, you know, be so aggressive, just let a man court you. And I don't think that we've seen that it changes to that degree, but I think women are more assertive now. So men are used to women, you know, at least letting them know and assuring them that they're interested in having more conversation and they're interested in getting to know them. So, you know, we definitely encourage our clients to be more assertive. So if that means to smile and say hello, if that means to go and have a conversation, if that means to go up and introduce yourself, you know, that's really
so the that's way. What you mean by good girls do flirt, right?
Yes, exactly what we mean. Yes,
indeed.
So I can let someone know that I'm interested. Yeah. And I can initiate too, in your opinion?
Absolutely. We encourage our clients to initiate. We arm them with the tools to be able to make eye contact, to smile, to flirt, to have conversation, to walk away with the contact information.
Yeah. And I think one of the things is, you know, most of our clients say, well, I don't want to look desperate, but there's a difference between being desperate and being interested. So you want to at least let them know that you're interested so that you create an environment for them to come over and say hello. And usually men will take it from there.
And what are some of the tips or strategies that you give to women? How can I flirt?
Well, we would recommend that you at least lock eyes. So you at least lock eyes and smile and give a compliment. Everyone on this earth adores a compliment. So you can say, oh my gosh, those shoes are amazing. I love those. And so you start the conversation that way. And then you could, or if they're in a grocery store, you can just start a conversation with whatever they have in their cart, or if they're at the avocados and talk about what they're planning to make with the avocados, just to engage in conversation and then transition to, I'd love to keep in touch.
I can say that as a woman,
absolutely,
a powerful single woman, not me, but listeners.
Sure, you know? Your listeners. So, sure.
Yes.
I'd love to keep in touch. And so that you're handing the baton back to him and giving him the authority to ask you for your phone number and your contact information. So again, you're giving him the option to ask you.
And I love the fact that you're giving women the ability to say, I'm interested, because I think some women think that, like you said, that it's too much. I'm appearing too aggressive, or what will he think? But you're saying, women out there, it's okay to say to someone, I'm interested in you. You look good, whatever, right?
Right, because the alternative is, and this has probably happened to everyone, you see a great person and you don't say anything, you're hoping that they come up to you, and then you never connect, and then you're looking for them. Maybe you come back to the same store at the same time, hoping to bump into them, or you're trying to find out if they live in the area, and you never, ever connect again. So our theme for the whole year is no more missed opportunities. So you're really taking control and making sure that you connect with the people you want to connect with.
And we also say,
It does. And we also, you create your own opportunities. Today, you're creating your own opportunities.
I like it. Because that gives me power as a powerful woman, but it also gives the baton, as you said, to him to continue with either the relationship, the interaction. And I love that it can happen at the grocery store. There are so many missed opportunities. I think as I go through the grocery store, I think, oh, why didn't he talk to her? Or absolutely.
Right.
Now, we only have a few minutes left. And as you know, I've been studying what keeps couples together and what breaks couples apart for the past 30 years. But I would love to hear briefly from the two of you. What do you think is the number one important factor that keeps couples together and happy?
I would say that communication all day. I mean, constant communication and scheduling time for each other. So creating the opportunity for yourselves to continue to date. I mean, you have to stay in touch and you have to stay top of mind of each other.
I like that. So communication. And that was Kelly or Tana?
That was Tana.
You know, what do you think, Kelly?
Well, I'm thinking, and it's probably along the same lines as feedback. And one of the challenges that we have with women is we'll even send people out on a first date and the woman will say, oh my gosh, he was amazing. Oh, I love so much about him. And we'll ask a man, well, what did you think? And he's like, well, I didn't think she liked me at all. And so, and so we almost have to bridge the gap all the time. I think with women, just whatever you're feeling, just go for it. If you want to say that, you know, you had an amazing time, you can't wait to talk again, or you're looking forward to talking. And I think that continues to translate, and just everyone being open with communication. And of course, selecting the right person from the beginning helps. Someone who's definitely marriage minded and really committed from the beginning to being married and to having a long-term relationship always helps.
I like all of those, I think, three factors that you mentioned: compatibility, similarity at the beginning, picking the right person, communication, establishing that communication, and then consistent. What was the last thing that you
feedback.
Said? Yeah, feedback. Like if I like you, say it. If I don't like something, say it. So it's honesty and feedback. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kelly, Tana. That was wonderful. And I encourage everyone to contact the matchmaking duo. We love talking to you today.
Oh, thank you
so much.
It's been a pleasure and an honor to be here.
Thank you so much for having us. We enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And you're doing such great, great work. Listeners, the best way to connect with the matchmaking duo is through their website at thematchmakingduo.com. You can also follow them on Facebook and Instagram at the Matchmaking Duo and on Twitter at Matchmaking Duo. And as always, Thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is drterrytheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with simple, practical, science-based relationship advice. So until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.